فَإِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوا الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تُسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا.
You are listening to Tearful Moments of the Prophet's Life, a heart-softening study of the Sunnah by Brother Yahya Ibrahim.
So the heart, it needs to have this love of the young child and mercy. And with this we see some of the words, for example, some of the words of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. We think of the words of Ali. A man asked Ali radiallahu anhu wa ardah and said to him, أَيُّ أَوْلَادِكَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ. Who of your children do you love the most? Obviously Ali has al-Hasan wal-Husayn, the greatest of the grandchildren of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, the most beloved of the youth to the Prophet ﷺ. They would come and sit on his shoulders as he prayed. They would sit on his back in his sujood. He would carry them on the mimbar as he was giving his khutbat al-Jumu'ah, his Eid. They were beloved by the Prophet. Who, ya Ali, is the most beloved of your children to you? Which one of them? So Ali radiallahu anhu said, الصغير حتى يكبر. The young one until he's old. والمريض حتى يبرئ. And the one who is ill until he feels better. والغائب حتى يعود. And the one who's traveling from me until he returns to me. That is the mercy that was found in the hearts of the Sahaba and these people. One day, Adi ibn Hatim, one of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was after the death of the Prophet, this was during the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu, his sons, they went out in battle, in the defense of Islam. And then soon after, Adi ibn Hatim heard news of their shahada, of their istishhad, that they had been martyred, that they had died in the defense of Islam. So Ali had not yet been informed, وَهُوَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حِينَ ذَاكَ. And he comes in and he sees that the face of Adi ibn Hatim, mahmoom. He has a sort of sorrow and depression upon his face. So, نظر علي إلى عدي بن حاتم فوجده كئيبا فقال. He found that he was in a depressed state. يا عدي ما لي أراك كئيبا حزينا. Why do I see you depressed and in sorrow? فقال عدي answered him and said, قتل أبنائي. All of my sons have been martyred today. Subhanallah. Not one, not two, but all of my sons have been martyred. Ali radiallahu anhu said to him, من رضى بقضاء الله, the one who is pleased by the قضاء, the order of Allah, the destiny of Allah upon him, جرى عليه قضاء الله, the destiny and the order of Allah will happen whether he likes it or not. وكان له أجر, and he will receive a reward for being pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَرْضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ, and the one who isn't pleased by what Allah has ordered upon him, what he isn't pleased with will still happen and he will not receive a reward. So it is better to have a sense of honor and a sense of love even at the times of sorrow, a sense of hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you better than what you had. Remember the actions of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet. She was married to Abu Salama before she was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Salama was a distinguished husband, was the best husband a woman could ask for. Umm Salama, when she heard news of her husband's death, she says, مَنْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَبِي سَلَمَةٍ. Who will ever propose to me that will equal Abu Salama? Abu Bakr went, she rejected him. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, none she thought could equate to Abu Salama. And when she heard of the Prophet ﷺ, she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, after hearing the death of Abu Salama, what dua should I make? He said, Istarji'i, make istirja', say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And ask Allah أَنْ يُخْلِفَكِ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. Make dua to Allah that He will give you someone better than Him. But in her mind, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, no one. She didn't have in her mind that eventually the Prophet ﷺ would come and seek her hand. SubhanAllah. There is always a positive to any attribute that we find in our life and in our times. There is always a positive point that we can always find in the difficulties that we encounter. Also from the important lessons of this hadith, that it is a sunnah to invite the people of knowledge and the people of taqwa to your home to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate any of your harm, any of your ailments, any of your sickness. You should not be shy to ask some of the brothers, some of the sisters to make dua for you. You should not be shy to ask some of the brothers, some of the sisters to visit someone of your beloved in the hospital. That was from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Also, it is important to note that from this hadith, we can see that a person who is in pain, there is no harm in asking for help. If a person feels that they cannot deal with the situation, here the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, she felt she needed more assistance, so she asked for help from others. And there is no harm if an individual is unable to help to resist from entering into that which they are requested for. Here we see the Prophet, it's his own daughter, the first time she asked, he didn't go and get up and into her aid. He waited. He gave her advice to the best of his ability at that time. And then later, he went to fulfill the obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had obligated him upon in answering her invocation with the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important that we look at all of these lessons from the life and the traditions of the Prophet. We conclude here, and we will continue inshallah after Salatul Maghrib, with some more of the pivotal moments of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tearful moments and moments of sorrow, so we could come and extract some of the lessons of fiqh and hikam from his life and times. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وبعد. Once again we continue with our series of discussions regarding the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We are taking a critical focused look on his life and his traditions. And we're looking, in fact, at the most painful moments of his life, the moments that brought him sorrow, the moments that led him to tears, to weep, whether out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or out of mercy to others in his ummah. And we're trying to extract lessons from these times, poignant issues in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our discussions, the final discussions of today, Saturday, here with you in Austin, Texas, inshallah, we will look at two final hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have wept. The first is an incident that is regards the death of one of the great sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The sahabi was one of the people who embraced Islam in the very early moments. Huwa min as-sabiqun al-awwalun. He is from the very foremost of those who entered into Islam. He was of the first 50 individuals who accepted the message that was delivered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His name was Uthman ibn Mad'un, one of the great companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to appreciate this moment in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's important to give you a few words regarding this great sahabi, Uthman radiallahu anhu wa arda. He has many issues that came to be with the Prophet ﷺ, many significant moments that were traced in the seerah of the Prophet's life. From them we see that this honorable man, he was of the few Arabs who prohibited upon himself shurb al-khamr, who said he will not consume any alcohol before Islam and before the Risala was given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is famous and written in the pre-Islamic poets' tongues for having said the following words. He said, لا أشرب شيئا يذهب عقلي. I will not consume anything that clouds my mind, removes my sanity, causes me the ability to judge what is right and what is wrong to be abandoned. ويضحك بي من هو أدنى مني. And I will not consume anything that will cause people who are beneath me in stature and in intelligence to mock me and to laugh at me. And he continued to say, وَيُحْمِلُنِي, and I will not consume anything that will cause me to give my daughter or my sister or someone who is beloved to me in marriage to someone who I normally would not accept due to the cloudiness of my mind. So this great man, even before Islam, he had these noble characteristics and was of the people who had a great deal of clarity and wisdom. Also we see that he was one of the individuals from the Prophet Sahaba who made the two hijrah. He first migrated to Ethiopia, to Al-Habasha, and later he migrated to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. He was from those who witnessed the Battle of Badr, who fought alongside the Prophet ﷺ in defense of Islam. وَكَانَ عَابِدًا زَاهِدًا. He is described by the other Sahaba as a abid, as a true worshipper of Allah, وَزَاهِد, a person who didn't put much importance in the worldly matters of life. وَهُوَّ أَوَّلُ مَنْ دُفِنَ فِي الْبَقِيَةِ. He is the first person to be buried in Jannatul Baqiyah, the cemetery of the Muslims of the Sahaba, near the Prophet's Masjid in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So he's a very noble man. We find this hadith on Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, دَخَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَلَى عُثْمَانِ وَهُوَ مَيِّد, while he had passed away and was in a state of death. فَأَكَبَّ عَلَيْهِ, he fell upon him, or he went down, reached down to him, hugged him, وَقَبَّلَهُ, and kissed him in his face. ثُمَّ بَكَى, and then began to weep greatly. حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ الدُّمُوعَ تَسِيلُ عَلَى وَجْهِ. He wept with such vigor that I could see the tears consistently and constantly flowing down his face. Now this is a very profound hadith. It's narrated by Imam Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad. Here we see the Prophet ﷺ having a great deal of emotion for this particular Sahabi. The commentators on this hadith report many different reasons. First, this Sahabi was one of the first individuals who came in support of the Prophet ﷺ during his early days in Mecca. This Sahabi was also of the first people who defended Islam in Al-Habasha, who went along with Ja'far and others and spoke to the people in Habasha, calling them to Islam when they were forced out of Mecca. As well, this Sahabi was an individual who was from the witnesses of the Battle of Badr, who defended Islam when other people did not have an opportunity to come in the defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed a great deal of love, a great deal of emotion towards this particular Sahabi. We also see that in this hadith there is a great deal of fiqh points that we extract. First, we see that in Islam we have a great deal of reverence for the deceased, but it does not transgress the bounds of the norm. Meaning, as Muslims, the deceased, yes, he has his rites. We perform the kafan, we cleanse him, we do the prayers, but we also have a great deal of attachment for him. The worldly life is not seen as completely separate from the hereafter. As Muslims, it is very symbolic for us to see the deceased, to carry him upon our shoulders. It's rather from the sunnah to carry the deceased on our shoulders rather than put him in a car or to drag him on a cart. We know at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he would try to maximize the time the deceased was in contact with the human being. We see the Prophet ﷺ, he comes into the room, uncovers the man's face, weeps near him, kisses him, وَضَمَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, hugs onto him. This was also the habit of those who came after the Prophet ﷺ. Here we're speaking of a significant individual. But wallahi, when we compare him to the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is insignificant. Let us just for a few seconds ponder the greatest calamity that befell the Muslim Ummah in its entirety. The scholars of Al-Islam, they mentioned that there was no greater tragedy that the Muslim Ummah faced, greater than the death of Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Huwa Rasulullah, he is the one who the Sahaba had the greatest reverence, the greatest love for, and therefore his death, his separation from this worldly life, to many other faiths, to many other people, to many other disciplines and study, it would have brought an end to Islam. In fact, it was a lesson that was taught to the Sahaba many years earlier. In the Battle of Uhud, as is recorded to us in the Quran and in other places, the mushrikeen, they tried to cause a disturbance amongst the Muslim ranks in the battle. One of the mushrikeen stood up in the battle and said, "Qatalna Muhammada." We've brought an end to the life of Muhammad. Lying in a disgraceful lie. Some of the Sahaba, they heard this word. فَأَلْقَوْ مَا بِأَيْدِيهِمْ, as is recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari, they threw down their weapons, their shields, their swords, their spears, their arrows and bows. وَجَلَسُوا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ يَبْكُونَ, sat on the ground weeping, thinking that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, istushhid. They felt a sense of impotence, a sense of shalal. They did not have the mobility and the effort that they had just a moment before hearing this news, which was a lie. One of the Sahaba came, Anas ibn Nadr, and seeing these Sahaba sitting in multitudes in the middle of the battlefield, throwing their weapons, no longer defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking that the battle has ended and that Islam will be vanquished and has come to an end, he says to them, "Mada tantazirun?" What happened? What are you waiting for? قَالُوا مَاتَ مُحَمَّدٌ, we have heard Muhammad has died. قَالَ لَهُمْ قُومُوا وَمُوتُوا عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ, stand up and give your life for what he gave his life for. And Allah immediately brought down in Surah Al Imran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ
إِلَّا, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ, أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ.
Muhammad is nothing more than a messenger. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, if he was to die or to be martyred, would you then turn back on what you had accepted? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life was lived to the fullest in calling people to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet at the moment of his separation from the worldly life, we find the greatest of lessons. Similar to what we find in the story of Uthman. Here we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam a few days before his death. He goes to the people of Uhud, buried, and the people of Badr, and the people of Al-Baqi'ah, and he gives them his salam. And he begins to weep severely. And some of the Sahaba, they notice the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has done this on numerous occasions, every morning and every duha. He would go to the people who have passed away and give them the salam, yuqri'hum as-salam. And one day upon returning, he says to Aisha, "Ya Aisha, I feel that I have a humma. I feel that I have the flu." Al-Madinah al-Munawwara was famous during the pre-Islamic time of being a place where al-humma was easy to catch, where it was easy for you to catch an infectious disease that caused you to be tired, to have a high temperature, to have what we in today would refer to as symptoms of illness. And Aisha also was suffering this at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he went home and he asked Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to lead the people in prayers. And for many days the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sit in his home, and every so often he would ask his wives to bring tumblers of cool water to bathe him in it. Washtaka sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he complained to Allah of his ailment and of the disease that he had been fighting off. And a few days before his death, he emerged, not having led the people in prayer now for more than 10 days. the 13 days before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam death on the 10th day, he stood on his minbar. He asked Ali radiallahu anhu to carry him, and he sat upon his minbar and he gave the ummah of the greatest of advice. He said to them, "As-salat, as-salat. I remind you of your prayers, your prayers. As-salat, as-salat." And then he turned to them and he said, "While I was with you, the muhajireen, when you came to the city of Al-Madinah, those who supported you were Al-Ansar. Do not neglect them and do not forget them." And he said to Al-Ansar, "When the muhajireen came, you opened your homes to them and Allah blessed you for having done so." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited his eulogy, which was sent down to us in the Qur'an, "Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath." He recited to them, "When the victory of Allah has come and the opening and your success has been made known."
إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا
رَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, have been a witness to people entering into Islam in many folds. فَسَبِّحْ. Say Subhanallah, bihamdi rabbik, glorify the name of Allah, innahu kana tawwaba, surely he is the one who accepts those who turn to him in repentance. Immediately upon reciting this surah, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq stood up, weeping, understanding the meaning of this surah, and said, "Fidaka nafsi ya Rasulallah, may I be sacrificed instead of you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fidaka waladi ya Rasulallah, may my son be the one in your place, O Messenger of Allah." The Sahaba, not having understood the consequence of this surah, they looked to Abu Bakr as if something strange has been said from him. Little did they know that this was the final of instructions from Allah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have seen the success of Al-Islam. You have lived in its success and have seen people enter into its multitude. You now have witnessed the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have conveyed the message in its entirety to the people of Al-Islam. فَسَبِّحْ. Say Alhamdulillah for what you have done. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. For Allah is the one who accepts all. And that was the last time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in front of his people in admonition and in discussion to them. And after being carried back to his room, his condition worsened. And Aisha radiallahu anha, who at this time was now his sole caretaker, for he was in her home, which was the home that he eventually would be buried in sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She began to take care of him. And every time that he would fall unconscious, he would wake up and he would say, "Hal salla al-qawm? Have the people prayed?" And she would inform him, "They have prayed their dhuhr. They have prayed their asr. They have prayed their isha." And he would go back into unconsciousness and wake up and he would say to her, "Ya Aisha, kam li min al-mal? How much money do I have left in my possession?" فَقَالَتْ سَبْعَ دَرَاهِمَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You have nothing but 7 coins left. He said, "تَصَدَّقِ بِهِنَّ يَا Aisha." Give them in charity, O Aisha. فَمَا بَالُ مُحَمَّدًا. How will Muhammad's condition be when he returns to Allah and he has in his possession that which he has not benefited the ummah with? And he fell unconscious again and woke up. And Aisha says, as narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, we became concerned with him and forgot to do by his order. So he woke up and reminded us. And we forgot to do by his order again due to the pain of taking care of him. And he reminded us again. Until finally they gave this as a charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the final night, the brother of Aisha radiallahu anha comes in, and in his hand is a new siwak, is a new twig that he used to brush his teeth with. And we know that it was from the constant sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have cleanliness of mouth. The first thing, as is reported by Imam Muslim, that the Prophet would do in the morning was brush his teeth. And the last thing that he would do before he slept, before his head touched his resting area, was brush his teeth, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Aisha says, at that time the Prophet was unable to speak, وَلَكِنِّي رَأَيْتُهُ يَنْظُرُ يَا سِوَاكِ. But I could see him looking towards the suwak. So I told him, أتريده, do you wish for it? And she took it from her brother. And she says, I moistened it in my mouth and gave it to him. And then after he brushed his teeth, I took it and I brushed mine. And that was the last time that my saliva and his mixed. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And on that day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is narrated to us in the authentic hadith, he looked towards the heavens and he looked up towards the ceiling of his home and he pointed with his hand, with his right hand, and he said, بَلْ إِلَى الرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. Rather, I choose the place of the highest of people. And his hand fell upon his chest. And this was as Aisha radiallahu anha had him held in her arms, between her neck and her breast. And that was the final words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And immediately at that moment, Aisha, unable to control herself, she screamed. فَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا أَبَا بَكْرِ وَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا عَلِيًّا عَلِيًّا أَبُو بَكْرِ. They entered. And they saw that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone on to the next world, had returned to his maker, to his creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they laid him onto his bed and covered his face. And exited and went out into the masjid and informed the people of the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said to us by the reporters of hadith and the authentic traditions that on that day, irtajjat al-madinatu bil-buqa. Due to the excessive weeping of the people, the Medina could be felt to shake at the time and at the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And in that moment, we hear different commotions and different statements from different people. We hear Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu pulling his sword out and saying, Man qala anna Muhammadan qad mat fa sa'aqtulu. The one who says Muhammad has died, I shall bring his life to an end. Muhammadan ma mat. It is inconceivable that Muhammad would depart us and die. Verily he has gone to visit his Lord as Moses has done, and he shall return, and he shall order me to strike down those who have lied about him in this way. We was unable to believe it. Ali radiallahu anhu shul, was immobilized, unable to walk. He sat on the ground, unable to carry his own weight. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu wa arda, his tongue became silent. He could not speak, he became dumbfounded. One of the men of the Ansar who had just recently seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the news of the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Allahumma khud basari. O Allah, take back to you my sight so that I see no one after the sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that moment he was made blind. All of these are authentically reported to us in the seer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one individual who remained with his full composure and with his wisdom was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. In the midst of all of this, Abu Bakr stood upon the minbar of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya qawm halummu ilay. O people, come and gather around me. Come and sit near me. Leave off all of the others. Man qala anna Muhammadan qad mat faqad sadaq. The one who said Muhammad has died has spoken the truth. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ. The one who worshipped Muhammad, let him know that Muhammad is dead. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. But the one who worships Allah, let him know Allah is one, is living, is eternal, and shall never die. And to be consistent in his worship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given instruction that if he was to die, that none was to pray over him. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none is worthy to lead the prayer upon him. Rather, their prayers were for him were his dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ghusl was made with his clothes on. Ali radiallahu anhu would pour the water from on top of his clothes and rub him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have heard from his sunnah, as he has done with this blessed sahabi Uthman. Abu Bakr entered to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and uncovered his face and kissed him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, Tibta hayyan wa mayyita. You always were fragrant in your life and you are even more fragrant in your death. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all of the people of Ahlul Madinah passed by him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his home, paying to him their dua and their prayers, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He had instructed that the nearest to him in family relations were the first to enter upon him. And the first after them was to be Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and then Umar, and then Uthman, radiyallahu anhumah. And immediately after, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same place that he was buried, in the same place that he had died, it was the same place that he was buried, Fatima radiyallahu anha, the daughter of the Prophet radiyallahu anha, she says to Ali, and she says to the Sahaba, did you have the heart to put the dirt upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That was the time that the Ummah received the greatest of tests. That is the time where we, even today, we feel the sadness and the sorrow of the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who cannot feel the sense of loss and not being able to witness the majesty and the honor and the nobility of Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam? But that is the reality that we all appreciate. And that was the reason the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would weep whenever there was a funeral ceremony or whenever someone loved to him or not was brought to be buried. We look to the final hadith that we will study tonight. It is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he wept for his ummah. In this authentic hadith by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the one who we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward through. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a reward for having the love and the patience in the calamity of the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For hundreds of years after the death of the Prophet, whenever a person's family, husband, son, daughter would pass away, the people around him would say, "Udhkur musabaka fi mawti Rasulillah." Remember how insignificant this issue is in comparison to the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ. The Prophet one day recited verses from the Quran, from سورة إبراهيم. رب إنهن أضلن كثيرا من الناس.
رب إنهن أضلن كثيرا من الناس. فمن تبعني فإنه مني. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَشْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِندَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقْهُم مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ.
There are many people who have been misled by others, have been influenced by others. فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي. Those who follow me and follow my way, then count them as being from me. And the Prophet also recited the saying of Isa, as is recorded in the Quran.
إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. O Allah, if you are to punish them, they are your servant and slave. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And if by chance you are to forgive them, then you are the most mighty and you are the most wise. Then the Prophet, after reciting these verses, raised his hands up in dua to Allah. And he said, Allahumma ummati ummati wabaka. O Allah, my ummah, and he wept severely. And in this we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is later remembered to us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فقال الله عز وجل يا جبريل. O Jibreel, اذهب إلى محمد. وَرَبَّكَ أَعْلَمُ فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا يُبْكِيكَ. O Jibreel, go to Muhammad. And Allah knows the reason why to go to Muhammad. But ask him, O Jibreel, what it has caused you to weep in this way? فَأَتَاهُ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فَسَأَلَهُ. Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, "What causes you to weep in this way?" فَأَخْبَرَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ يَبْكِي مِنْ أَجْلِ أُمَّتِي. He says, "I weep because of my ummah. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُبْكِيهِ. And Allah had already known the reason of his weeping and his tears. And Jibreel returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the information that Allah already knew. And Allah said to Jibreel, اذهب إلى محمدا فقل له إنا سنرضيك في أمتك. Say to him, "Ya Muhammad, we will please you by giving you goodness in your ummah." The ummah has been honored with goodness, with success, due to the love of Allah for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the happiness and all of the success and all of the huda and all of the ease that we have been given as a nation of Islam and as a nation of believers is due to the love of Allah for the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cared for his ummah enough that even after reciting the verses from Surah Ibrahim, the words of Ibrahim in dua, and the words of Isa in his dua, as is collected in the Quran, he would come back to remember his ummah. Look in the comparison between the words of Isa and the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Isa is recorded in the Quran by saying, "Oh Allah, if you punish them, they are your servants." He did not intercede for his people and say, "Oh Allah, forgive them." Rather, he said, "If you punish them, they are your humble servants. And if you forgive them," not asking, but "if you forgive them, you are the most wise and knowledgeable." Except Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad, this one great and final and last Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the shafi'ah, is the interceder, not just for his ummah, but for all of the umam. When the people of Isa shall come and say, "Ya Isa, make dua to Allah on the Day of Judgment to save us," he will say, "Go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." That is the greatness of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the reason of his buka, his weeping and his tears, out of love for his ummah. We extract a few quick lessons from this hadith. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a person whose greatest ambitions in life were not for himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived his life not for himself but for his ummah. Everything that he did in his life was in pursuit of making things easy for his ummah. In the way he would answer their questions, in the way that he would advise, in the battles that he fought, in the defense that he performed, in the jihad that he stood up with, all of that was not out of personal benefit or gratification, but it was for the furtherment and the fulfillment of the laws of Allah for the ummah of al-Islam. That is the first and most important thing. We see that the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was for his ummah. Second, we see from this hadith that it is permissible, in fact, it is recommended for the believer when he is in need of asking Allah for something that is personal to himself or for the ummah to raise his hands in dua to Allah. It is from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person is in need and it is not from the times when one should not raise his hands, that a person is asked to invoke Allah, raising his hands in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see this as being a constant sunnah from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the authentic hadith of Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah would be shy from an individual who raises his hand to Allah in dua and Allah does not answer him." فَادْعُوا اللَّهِ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ الْإِجَابَةِ. So raise your hands to Allah, make dua to Allah, and have certainty that Allah will answer your dua. So we extract this as a beneficial lesson. Third, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the ummah's rewards and the ummah's success is based on the love of Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is very difficult for me or for any individual to try to discuss, or it is impossible to describe, but to try to clarify or to discuss the love that Allah has for the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is inconceivable for us to understand it. Let us just look at some of the pivotal ways in how Allah honored the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Insha'Allah, next weekend, before we leave, we will discuss for two lessons the distinguished characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received that no other Prophet or Messenger received. There are over 100 different things, 100 different honored points that were given to Rasulullah that were not given to Ibrahim or Musa or Isa or anyone else. There are also numerous things that are given to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that were not given to any of the nations that came before us. All of this extracted from the words of Allah and the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us just uncover some of these points quickly as an introduction. We see that every prophet and every messenger in the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come to address them, He would address them directly. وَيَا نُوحِ اِهْبِطْ مِنْهَا مِسَلَامٍ. Noah, descend from the ship in peace. وَيَا مُوسَى أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ. Musa, throw down the staff that is in your hand. Ya Isa, inni mutawaffika wa rafi'uka ilay. O Isa, I shall put you in a state of sleep and raise you up to the heavens as a protection for you. Wa nadaynahu an ya Ibrahim. And we called unto him, O Ibrahim, qad saddaqta ar-ru'ya. You have believed in the dream, in the ru'ya, in the vision that you had seen. All of the prophets, all of the messengers were simply given their first name as the address. But when we come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find nowhere in the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Prophet with an action by calling him with his first name. It is always Ya Ayyuha Rasul, O honored Messenger of Allah. Ya Ayyuha Nabi, O great Prophet of Allah. Ya Ayyuha Al-Muddathir, O one who is shaking. Ya أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلِ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا. You are a witness unto mankind. وَمُبَشِّرًا.
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
ونذيرا, a warner of the evil. وداعيا إلى الله, a caller to people to come to Allah. وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have sent you to people to fulfill all of these tasks. The only time the Prophet ﷺ is named is in reference of honor. مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
An honored position that is not given to the others. What is greater in honor than to know, as a synonym of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anytime the word of Allah is mentioned, when you say La ilaha illallah, immediately, if you do not say it, someone will complete it for you and say Muhammadan Rasulullah. What is greater that in every part of your salah, there is some sort of reminder of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your salah is incomplete unless you say At-tahiyyatu lillah, wa-salawat wa-tayyibat, to the conclusion, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad ila al-akhir. What is greater than to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such detail in the books before Al-Quran, describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being the one who would come and be honored, the one who would come and have the words of Allah upon his tongue. All of this found in the Injil and in the Torah. That which remains, remains, and that which has been removed, has been removed. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not an insignificant being. He was a person who changed the course of humanity by the will and the power and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is greater than for Allah to choose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the final prophet of the final revelation, of the final message to the ends of time of humanity? Nothing can be greater than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being given this mission, and nothing was more difficult of a task than being the one who kept and fulfilled this task as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Finally, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was in this lofty position and honored status, that he was also the most in need of Allah. As a human being, you see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this man who has been honored in such a way, yet he is still seeking and turning and invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the power wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, sent Jibreel and said to him, "Ya Muhammad, the people for having disobeyed you and having driven you out of your land of Mecca, here is with me the angel of al-Jibal, the mountains. Murhu, order him and he will collapse al-Akhshabain, the two mountains that surround Mecca upon each other and kill the people within its vicinity." But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all this power given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was equated in mercy and love for his ummah. Rather, he turned to Allah in dua and he said, "I ask you, O Allah, to extract from within their people, from within them, from within their loins, those who will come to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That was the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what we seek to show to ourselves and to the people who we live in. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest of the great and the best of the best, because he was the chosen of the chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We conclude with our study of this hadith by mentioning the final point, that with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invoking Allah by saying, "Ummati, Ummati," it does not mean that the ummah has a safe passage through all time and through fitna. Do not mistake this hadith for saying, "Well, then how come the ummah is going through all of the difficulty it is facing? Why has been there death and pestilence and hardship and loss of money and loss of life? Why is the ummah facing all of this if Allah said, 'We will make you happy, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,' in your ummah?" What is meant is that you are the answer of this dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You sitting here 1,425 years later, sitting in a masjid, Masjid Ibrahim, in a city like Austin, Texas, in the middle of the United States, at 10 o'clock at night, you are an answer of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sitting here representing many different nationalities, those who are from Egypt, those who are from Bangladesh, from Canada, from Lebanon, from Syria, from Somalia, from Sudan, all of you coming in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are the answer to the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the proof of the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your unity of purpose and worship is the deliverance of the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, we find this in no other place than in the masajid. Look around you, look at the places that surround us. Look at the many different countries. You will find that each ethnicity and each racial background has their own place. As we were driving today to the masjid, I took notice of the Korean Baptist Church. And I took notice of the a church that is segregated by color or segregated by nationality or ethnicity. But here, alhamdulillah, we are in a cosmopolitan, interrelated, intermixed atmosphere. All of us relaxed, all of us speaking our own languages, yet distinct within ourselves, knowing that we are here for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from the greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Islam that He has blessed us with this diversity and this ability to come together. Inna ja'alnakum shu'uban.
Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum inna allaha 'alimun khabir.
إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Nothing elevates you above anyone else except your piety and your morality and your personal diligence in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that the dua of the Prophet does not guarantee that you will be secure from harm or difficulty or low income or excessive income. Sometimes we are tested by being given good and being given ease, and that is more difficult of a test for us by Allah than for Allah to take it from us. Wallahi ya ikhwan, sometimes being given good, being given a steady job and a healthy atmosphere and good health and good children, that is more difficult of a test for you by Allah than Allah to take from you some of these things. Because you begin to forget your duties to Allah. You think if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me two cars and a home and a job and an income and an education and a safe country to live in, that if Allah has given me all of this, I must be doing something right. I must be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you begin to neglect and oversee your mistakes. And therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reminds us, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الْعَبْدَ مَا يُحِبْ وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعْصِيَةٍ فَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّهُ اسْتِدْرَاجٌ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. If you see Allah giving a person everything he wants, everything he asks for, and at the same time you see that individual is in sin, is in ma'asiyah, committing sin, but whenever he wants, he gets and receives, know Allah is slowly going to bring him to punishment. Istidrajun lahu min Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people who came before us.
فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ.
When they forgot the reminder, their Qur'an, their Torah, they forgot the rules that Allah has set down to them. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We gave them the doors of all goodness. Whatever they wanted was given to them. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا. Until they became content and pleased, until they became happy, أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتًا. We took them suddenly, فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. And now they come back into regret. We must be very careful with the way we conduct our life, especially when we have not received any difficulties in a while. The great scholars of Islam, they say, we wait for the day Allah tests us so we know that Allah is loving to us. We wait for the day Allah gives us something difficult, a task that we need to overcome, because it is a sign that Allah is looking out for us, loves us. The one who is not given these tasks every so often, it means Allah is piling up until the final day or until he receives something great. And therefore we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his dua is very significant to us. It is always important for us to look at the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just what he said, but why. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make from his often dua, Allahumma inna nas'aluka imanan la yartad. Iman that is not rejected by you. وَنَعِيمًا لَا يَنْفَدْ, and happiness that does not end. وَقُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لَا تَنْقَطِعْ, a things that will please us. وَمُرَافَقَةَ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the Sahaba added, and that we would be gathered with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in Jannatul Na'im. From the dua of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the dua where he would make dua to Allah to give him بَدَنًا عَلَى الْبَلَاءِ صَابِرًا. O Allah, give me a body that is strong and can withstand the severity of the test that you give me. The Prophet ﷺ would make dua to Allah not to make him from those who are stingy with his donations, to make him charitable. The Prophet ﷺ, and he is who he is, would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him from those who said a word straightforward, no lying, no crookedness in words. That was from the habits of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are of the greatest things that affect the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. In this day, we remember Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as we do tomorrow and as we have done yesterday. We are constant in the remembrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because he is the key towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his sunnah and love for him, we do not have love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is incomplete. We must desire to have what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given, and we must desire to leave off what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has ordered us and forbidden us to abstain from. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these blessed moments to make us from those who are successful in the dunya and in the akhirah. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه, وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم ارزقنا البر والهدى والتقى يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم آتنا إيمانا لا يرتد, ونعيما لا ينفد, وقرة عين لا تنقطع, ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. What are some of the rules and manners of making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we know and believe that the dua will be answered? There are, I guess it's a collection of very important steps. When a person sets to make dua, the most important thing is intention. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that answers your dua, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is powerful enough to answer and to give that which you seek, is of the most and utmost importance. Second, to send the peace and the blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are numerous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who says Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and in his heart he wants to ask for something, what he wanted to ask for in his heart is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By sending the salah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the beginning and at the end of your dua, you are ensuring that your dua will be answered by Allah azza wa jalla. Third of the manners of dua is that you try to be mutahayyi, that you are ready in your dua. You are turning to Allah, it's not just in passing, but you are standing in front of Allah, you are sitting in front of Allah. You have turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, asking for a particular thing, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. Fourth, that you have yaqeen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to answer your dua. Not that He will answer your dua, but is able to answer the dua. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what you ask for, can answer the dua. As for if He will answer the dua or not, فَأَنْتَ تُفَوِّضُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, you leave it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are numerous times where we will ask for something that Allah knows it is better for us to receive it at a later date, or to be given something instead of it. Or that your dua is answered by alleviating something that was going to happen to you. Sometimes you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, give me good health. And you already are feeling ill or sick. But what your dua does is that you now are prevented from another illness. Right? It doesn't always necessarily mean that you will be cured from the illness that you have. You might ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a good healthy relationship with your spouse. And then you find that in your difficulties, you have difficulties with your husband or your wife. You say, but I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbina ihdiki, Rabbina ihdik. Oh Allah, you know, make my wife nice. Oh Allah, make my husband nice. And they're still the same. The dua is answered in the fact that she hasn't become worse. Or he hasn't become worse. Alaysa kadhalik? So it's important for us to look at the dua in that perspective. Also, the dua of an individual is most accepted in the times where we are to turn to Allah in dua. Of those special times is when a person is in sujood, when a person is in the final part of the night before fajr, when a person is performing an action of righteousness like fasting or sadaqah or recitation of the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا قَرَأْتُمُ الْقُرْآنَ فَادْعُوا. When you have finished reading from the Qur'an, make dua. It is sunnah to make dua. And if you have finished reading the whole Qur'an, we see the Sahaba like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and ibn Abbas, they would bring their families to their home and make dua together to share in the blessings of the recitation and the khatm of the Qur'an. Also, when you have another individual, when you are sharing a meal, when you have eaten as we have eaten with the brother here today, we make dua for ourselves and for the brother, and we ask him to make dua for us. Also, from the ways that your dua is answered is that you make dua for your brother without him knowing. So inshallah tonight, you make lots of dua for brother Yahya. You say, you know, oh Allah, make brother Yahya's parents proud of him. Oh Allah, increase him in health and success and in wealth, and make lots of dua for me inshallah. Without me knowing, the Prophet ﷺ says, dua al-mar ila akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb. To make dua for your brother without him knowing, mustajab, is answered. وَيَقُولُ malak, and an angel will answer your dua by saying, Ameen, Ameen, for every dua you make. وَلَكَ بِمِثْلِ, and to you, the good you ask for him. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for an increase for me, Allah gives you an increase for yourself. Dua is also the essence of worship. Everything you do is a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is a form of worship. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." Du'a is the essence of all types of worship, as is reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's an authentic hadith. Finally, what are the things we need to do so that the du'a is, what are the things we need to stay away from so that the du'a is answered? Just like there's many things that we do for the du'a to be answered, there are things we need to abstain from so that Allah will accept our du'a. From those things is negating what we are asking for. If you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah, and then immediately after asking you go and commit something that you know is wrong, then you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something that you yourself do not wish for. You are negating what you are asking for. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you halal wealth, and then you go and you work, or you take money, or you harm someone in a way that causes your wealth to be impure. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you healthy children, but you buy them haram food, or food that isn't halal. Right? Those are the ways that our dua is not answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are negating the essence of the dua. How can you ask for something that you yourself are doing in opposition for without asking Allah for repentance for it? Also, we remember the hadith that is narrated by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet describes that there is an individual, Ash'ath Akhbar, a person who's in the middle of the desert, who's in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns to Allah for dua, and wishing and hoping that Allah will be merciful and answer his dua. وَلَكِنْ مَطْعَمُهُ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. What he's eating isn't from halal. وَمَشْرَبُهُ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. What he's consuming and drinking is earned from not that which is halal. وَمَلْبَسَهُ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. His clothing, his garments isn't from the halal. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَبْ لَهُ. How is it that he can believe or conceive that Allah will answer his du'as? A few questions I think from the sisters. Many people do not know some of the du'a in Arabic. So what are they to do in salah, in qiyam, or in sujood, or so on? There is difference in opinion amongst the scholars of Al-Islam as to whether after having fulfilled all of the major components of salah, in your salah you have to read the Fatiha in Arabic, you say Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, all of this stuff is in Arabic. There is difference of opinion now amongst the scholars as to whether a person who is a'jami, doesn't know Arabic, and hasn't been taught certain du'as for certain things, whether they can ask Allah in their own language. The most correct answer, wallahu a'lam, is that in whatever language you know, once you have fulfilled the obligations of salah, after you're in your sujood and you've said subhanallah, wa bihamdihi subhanallah, wa bihamdihi subhanallah, wa bihamdi, and you've made the du'a, and you have a personal du'a, you may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your own language. At the very least, you may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not verbally with your tongue, but within your heart. But outside of salah, you can ask Allah in any language, at any time, for any reason, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important, inshaAllah, to try and also learn these du'as. Ask a brother, ask a sister, but it is not an essential. Also the du'a of istikhara. There is a du'a, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik, the du'a where you ask Allah, if this is good for me, bring it closer, or if this is evil, make it distant. You can make this du'a in English, in any language that you can, until you learn it, inshaAllah. Dear brother, I just had a hardship due to an unexpected surgery in the hospital. But in the hospital, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to take me just yet due to my husband and daughter being still here on earth. Does this show you have weak iman? The answer is no. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man lam yas'alillah yaghdab alayh." The one who refrains from asking Allah, Allah's angry with him. That's the one with no iman. That's the one whose heart has become hard with arrogance. That's the one who now believes that even if he doesn't believe it consciously, that he is not in direct need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if he was in need of Allah, he would always be asking Allah. We are not to ask Allah only when we need Him. We are also to be asking and pleading of Allah when everything seems to be going well in our life. That is when we are in direct need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just when something bad has happened, but as a preventative measure. When we are living our life each and every day, you must be constantly asking Allah for tawbah, for istighfar, for many different things that affect you and your children. That was the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who each and every day, more than 70 times a day, he would turn to Allah in istighfar and in tawbah. He was constant in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي هَذَا الْكِفَايَةِ. And with this we bring our discussions for the evening to a conclusion. InshaAllah tomorrow we will begin with once again the resumption of our sessions regarding some of the other tearful moments from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also during the week, Monday to Thursday, we will be doing starting from 7:30 to 8:30 and from 9 until Isha, we will be doing the tafsir of Surah Maryam. We will be looking at the life of Zakariya and Yahya and Maryam and Isa and Ibrahim and Musa and all of the different reminders that Allah had given us through them and the verses that come after them regarding Salah and Al-Jannah and Al-Nar. So it should be very an entertaining discussion and one where we can learn a little bit about the principles of tafsir and how the scholars perform tafsir, inshaAllah. So those of you who plan on attending, I recommend for you to read a little from the tafsir of Imam Ibn Kathir so that you come and that we have something to discuss, inshaAllah, not just to sit and have a dialogue. And with that, وَفِي هَذَا الْكِفَايَةِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا.
Please proceed to next CD.